The transition from the keyboard. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. God's wanting to do something special today. You're ready to receive it? I really mean it. Hallelujah. Those of you at home, the same thing. Just let's just believe that we are going to receive it together. Just thank you all for your faithfulness again. If you have an offering today, we will not be passing around baskets and plates. It's in the back. You can do it. Well, that's the front. I keep pointing to the back, but the back is the front. And but there's a box out there to give into if you, for those of you that still give the old-fashioned way. Hallelujah. With green and checks. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, I want to get into the Word of God, and I everybody say fresh oil,
fresh oil
and fresh fire. Now, what do you think of when you think of the word fresh? New. Amen. You don't think of something old. I mean, I'm not a leftovers guy. My wife is a leftovers woman. She brings everything home. We pile it up in the fridge, and I'm not much of a leftovers guy. It's got really good for me to want to eat it the next day. And are y'all know what I'm talking about? But I do like things fresh. Are y'all with me? Hallelujah. It may have been really good, but I just really don't want to eat it again. Maybe later. If I wait long enough, I'll think it's fresh. But anyway, fresh oil, fresh fire. Say it again. Fresh oil, fresh fire. Hallelujah. Let's get into the Word of God. And I believe there's a response the Lord wants to have with us today. Are y'all ready to receive that? Okay, let's get on into the Word of God. We're going to look in two passages right away at the beginning. So if you want to turn to Matthew 25, and we're also going to go straight to Revelation 19 after that. So we'll begin with Matthew 25, verse number 1, this very familiar parable on the end of the age that Jesus taught. And let's look at it together. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent, meaning they were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil and flask along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. How many know the more time goes on, it's easy to get drowsy?
Yeah.
Come on. Notice it said they all got drowsy, even the wise ones got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, and behold, the bridegroom come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, what did he say? I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Amen. Now, go with me to Revelation 19. Most of you already know who's the bridegroom and who's the bride there, right? Most of you already know that, but this really drives it home for us. Revelation 19, verse number 6. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude and like the sound of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder saying, that's why I told you guys, if you don't like loud, you need to get over it because it's going to be really loud in heaven. Are you ready? Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him for the marriage of what? The Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Holy Spirit, we invite you today to come upon us with a spirit of readiness. For this hour, Lord God, we cry out as your remnant. And we say, Lord, we want to be the remnant ready bride upon your return in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, we know, again, these verses are referring to the church being the bride, the redeemed. Amen. And to the bridegroom being Jesus. Everybody understand that, right? Very important. But the point of the verse is understanding readiness.
Amen.
It's not only to get ready, but stay ready. Because you might get ready. Have you ever gotten ready for something and nothing really happened, but you're glad you got ready? But, you know, you got to get ready and stay ready, right? Hallelujah. I mean, many a husband or a wife has stood at the door waiting on the other one, right? After a while, you're just ready to sit back down and, you know, prop your feet back up and say it's going to be a while. We need to get ready and stay ready. Amen. I need to quit talking about husbands and wives and marriages. So. Anyway, in the name of Jesus. It's important for us to be expectant. It's important for us to be alert. It's important for us to be listening. If you really understand the Hebrew wedding, the Jewish wedding, the way it was is the bridegroom would leave and start preparing a place for his wife. Sometimes it took over a year. And then his father decided when he would call for her. So she had to be ready. He had to be in a spirit of readiness. He said, I'm going to, and Jesus used that same language with us. I'm going to prepare a place for you, right? It's a cool. I may even teach on that some next week, but I'm going to be careful not to go after that message today. But what I keep hearing in my heart, should you be alert? Absolutely. Should we be listening? Absolutely. You need to know his voice and listen to his voice. But we also need to be ready. Because it's not about just saying, well, I heard his voice. Because the foolish ones heard his voice too. And they wanted to go in, but they weren't ready. And so that's what we learned from that. But we also learned that the oil, that you got to understand something about parables is, you know, they're types and shadows of reality, of a truth. But the oil represents intimacy. Because remember, he said, you know, I don't know you. So obviously those who had oil were intimate with him. Everybody getting that? And that's how you can pull those two things together. I've told you this many times, but I got saved in the late 70s, which is really coming into about the height of what we would call the charismatic movement. You know, the Pentecostal outpouring began in the early 1900s with Azusa Street and various places. And then through that, we had the Pentecostal movement and the Word of Faith. I mean, healing movement, all of that, latter rain and all that. But the charismatic movement was unique because people were getting baptized with the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit that were in denominations that were not open to that. I mean, almost every church I knew had a little pocket of charismatics in there, you know, that had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit because so many churches are not open to the gifts and things of the Spirit. I thank God for the charismatic movement because at the time, quite frankly, I was not interested in anything in the Lord, but that got my interest. As just a religious Methodist boy, that got my interest and it turned my heart on for the Lord. And I thank God for that movement. But here's the thing. A lot of movements and a lot of things that happen in God, they tend to morph into conferences and gatherings. And that's really not the point of why God wanted to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not against conferences, and I'm not against camp meetings and gatherings and all of that. But what we tend to do is we tend to go to meetings and wait to get something from somebody else that's anointed. When God's called all of us to be anointed. Amen? Are y'all hear where I'm going? Again, I'm not being critical of that. It's just kind of how it seems to go with certain moves and movements of God. And we kind of leave the track of what God wants. Like, for example, when God brings a great revival to a church, it wasn't meant to, you know, to keep the inertia of some meetings going, and then we all go back to business as usual afterwards. It should have an impact on us throughout our lives. I mean, I believe everything God does in us is an eternal thing. Now, I want to say this to you. I believe in prophecy. I believe in impartation. Are y'all with me? I'm not downing any of that at all. But there's an anointing you have to carry and that I have to carry. Are y'all with me? There's responsibility that you carry the oil. Amen? Not that you just know how to go drink, but that you know how to receive it and how to carry it. Amen? And also we see in that parable, if you go by really quickly, you won't catch it. But it wasn't just enough to have oil in your lamp. The wise ones had flask. They had reservoirs, which tells me something. There's a depth to the anointing we've not ever tapped into. And so there's always going to be more. And so our capacity to receive more needs to be there. Am I making sense to you? So, and again, the Lord uses this spiritual types and shadows to help us understand some of these things and these images to help us understand things. Here's something that we got to always remember. Jesus said this. He said, the Father is looking for what? Worshippers. True worshipers who what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. And can I tell you, to worship in spirit doesn't mean you sing contemporary songs. And I love music, but that's not the point. We've always thought, because church kind of morphed from some of the older, you know, 100, 2, 3 year, 100 hymns to doing choruses and stuff. And I'm not knocking any of that, but the worship that the Lord wants is spirit to spirit. The spirit of God communing with the spirit of man. Are you with me? And it's in that where you get the oil. See, it's in that type of worship and communion with God and fellowship with God where we're able to tap into the oil. I don't believe we can get ready and stay ready without this continual communion. Would you agree? I mean, we all know that some of the best times we know in our lives, we felt and sensed that we had the most anointing upon our lives was when we were the closest to God in our relationship with him. And so as we begin to press into that, it's very important. Now, when Jesus came on the scene to start his ministry, he approaches John the Baptist, who's baptizing almost all of Israel out in the Jordan, right? And so Jesus comes out to him, and there was two things he pointed out about the Lord. Most of you remember this when he said, behold what? The Lamb of God, who has come to take away the sins of the whole world, right? Hello? He revealed Jesus as the sacrificial lamb. But then he also said something very interesting. He said, I am not worthy to untie his sandals. He's much higher than I. He will baptize you. Get this. I'm baptizing you with water for repentance, but he's going to baptize you what? With the Holy Spirit and with fire. Let's say it. The Holy Spirit and with fire. He literally said, not only did he say he came to make the sacrifice for our sins, but he came to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. See, this is not an optional thing. And much of the body of Christ doesn't even press into that part of it. But he came to do that. I mean, if there was anything else John could have said that would have been more important, I'm sure he would have said it. Because he was the one making and preparing the way for the Lord to come. Amen? Now, we know at Acts chapter 2, we're not going to turn there for the sake of time. Well, I might look at a verse there in a minute if you want to. But anyway, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Just imagine, these 120 are waiting. The Holy Spirit's poured out. The Bible says he came like a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were seated. And then upon each one of them, but I got news for you, the fire came also. The fire came in and was distributed among them as tongues as of fire upon each one of their heads. Can you imagine this sight? Everybody's hair is on fire, basically. Okay? And then they are all filled. And as they're filled and the Holy Spirit is giving them utterances, they begin to prophesy and speak with supernatural languages they did not know. They began to speak in other tongues and began to prophesy. And it was quite the sight. Can you imagine this outpouring of the Holy Spirit? But can I tell you, up to this point, we don't see up to this point a lot of persecution going on. Jesus, after the resurrection, had spent 40 days with them, teaching them about the kingdom, getting them ready. And then he ascends into heaven and says, you guys wait for the Holy Spirit. And so that's what they were doing. So it wasn't like they were suffering. But immediately after this outpouring and the result of it, which was 3,000 souls being saved, persecution starts. The enemy starts coming after them. I mean, you know, the minute you decide you're going to do something for God, get ready. Especially if it's about reaching the lost. We started doing, get ready, and the oppression came, and I'm not trying to scare you, but it ramped up significantly after that. And so we read that about two chapters later in chapter 4, their leaders have been threatened to no longer preach in the name of Jesus. They're threatening them with jail and beatings and everything else. And so they come back, and you know what they do? They start to pray. Because of the persecution, you know what they prayed? They said, oh Lord, give us the confidence to speak your word with all boldness. Amen? While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They didn't even pray, oh, Lord, please get this persecution away from us so we can serve you. They just said, Lord, give us more confidence because we're going to need it. We're going to need some boldness. Amen? Hallelujah. And we know what happened. Do you know what happened? It said they were filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. Fresh fire. Fresh fire and oil came, and they were filled afresh. And it was such a dramatic account here that the building they were in shook. By the power of God. But you know what the result was of that infilling? Was that they began to speak with boldness as they prayed. Secondly, it said, that, get this, the congregation was of one heart and soul. See, that's what happens when we commune in the Spirit together. And when we pray together, and we seek God together, and we receive together. There's something about the corporate gathering that's so important because God wants to cause us to be of one heart and soul. Say amen. And then it says this, with great power, they gave testimony. They gave the testimony. I mean, it's one thing to testify. It's another thing to testify with great power. And the great power came. And, of course, we know the rest is history, what took place after that. So it's a mighty thing that happened. I want to tell you, they had received fresh oil and fresh fire. Amen? From Acts chapter 2 to Acts 4, they're back under the spout for more. Are you with me? And I want to tell you today, we too, I know most of you in this room have been spirit baptized. And you believe in it, and you've received the Holy Spirit, and those of you watching, our friends, our families, our partners and friends, I want to tell you today, we need fresh oil and fresh fire too. Would you agree? Yes. Why? So we can be his witnesses. So that we can proclaim the testimony of Jesus with power. Because I'm telling you, that's the best way and the only way he really ordained for us to share his testimony, was with power. Here's what happens when you witness with great power. Two things result. First of all, there's a demonstration. You're not just talking about what the Lord has done. You're demonstrating it. You're praying for the sick and you're casting out demons and you're doing things in the power of God. But the second thing that happens when you preach and minister and share with power is there's a presence there that you need. And it actually brings conviction to the unbeliever. Jesus said when the Spirit of truth comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He will do that. How many of you know when you and I try to get people convicted, they get condemned? Or mad, right? When we try to convince somebody they need to repent. But when the Holy Spirit, how many know when the power of God is on you and on your message and on your ministry, there's the natural result. I remember the revival that we've spoken of you many times about that took place back in Memphis at my brother's church. This would be like 1999. And I remember that revival. So I was leading the worship in that revival, and we would have people that would start flooding the altars repenting before anybody preached anything. There was such a power of a spirit of revival and such an outpouring that, you know, you couldn't be in that presence of God and not deal with what was going on in your heart. How many of you know we need that? We need that in the church, and we need that when we're ministering to people and loving on them. Amen? Again, please don't ever confuse conviction and condemnation. They are not the same thing. Hello? Conviction is something we all need. Condemnation pushes you away from God. Amen? Now, Jesus, the bridegroom, as we see in this parable, did not intimately know the maidens who didn't have the oil in their lamps, right? There was no intimacy with him. I do not know you. So if we're to gain this oil, we must make a very significant investment of our time and our heart and our passion into being intimate with the Lord. Would you agree? Think about it in the natural. Well, first of all, let me say this. One thing you learn from the parable too is I can't get my intimacy with the Lord from your intimacy with the Lord. Fair enough? If you're good friends with somebody and I want to be close to them, then I've got to invest in that relationship. I can't do it through you, through proxy. See, that's where sometimes impartation can take you to a realm where you just depend on somebody else to always get the oil. And that can be a real problem if we read that parable correctly. Because they said, no, we don't have enough for you and me. You got to go get your own. And so, I mean, I believe we're coming to that place in the body of Christ. I really do. I believe we're getting to that place in the body of Christ. Again, I believe in impartation. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But this oil that we need. But another thing, think about a friendship. A friendship is developed because you invest the time in the relationship, right? You spend time with them. Well, on time, whether you're being diligent or just because life has caused you to be together a lot, you develop that. But if it's a romantic relationship, it's even deeper. And there's more passion involved in all that. And Jesus, as I've told you many times, he is the one that chose this romantic bridegroom and bridal language to help us understand the closeness of our heart to his heart as we prepare for his coming. How many of you know we need to be, we were singing a song earlier, we need to be in love with him. Amen? We need to be deeply in love with God. And he's calling us to that. Let me just say this. I believe in like never before, we have to make a decision or choose to invest more and more of our time into closeness to God. And you do that intimately in the secret place, but you also do that corporately as a body. So both of them are very, very important and very, very equally important, I believe. Here's the thing. The foolish virgins waited until it was too late. And I don't know about you, and you can argue about whether or not, you know, they were ever saved or whatever, what they got to enjoy or not to enjoy. I'm not really here to get into that because that's not my call anyway. By the way, when you get to heaven, I will not be sitting on the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? But I do want to know one thing. I don't want to hear, I don't know you, Rick. Are y'all with me? So it's an urgent thing for us to draw close in this hour. Anybody with me? Okay. Again, even in this message, no condemnation, right? All right, we must invest our time and our passion in knowing the Lord. And there needs to be an urgency about it, I believe, with what we see before us. And I'm not even really just talking about what's going on just in the United States and with the election and all the stuff that's going on. It's just, but part of that does read into it because it's some signs of the times, amen? And to tell us the time of the day of the Lord is drawing nearer, all the more we should be pressing in, amen? How many of you know you also have to trim your wick, though? You have to trim it. And that means you cut off, what you do, you cut off the blackened part that is already previously burnt. Which tells me something. How did it get black? It used to burn. So you cut that off. But I've heard the Lord say to me this week, he said, but you also got to understand something. You got to let me to cut away because I'm going to do something new. The previous burn served its purpose, but you can't relight the previous burn. If you do, it'll put out black smoke and the light will not be bright. How many know the light, the witness we give needs to be clear. It needs to be clear with no smoke. Amen? With no smoke, and it needs to be bright. Hallelujah. So don't get offended, but God said he wants to come and trim you. Because sometimes he's going to tell you in areas of ministry and how he's going to use you, it's going to be different than it was before. And that's probably the hardest part for any of us. And we old dogs don't like new tricks. Right? Hello? I can roll over and play dead, but don't ask me to do anything else, right? Well, he prunes the vine, another analogy, right? He prunes the vine. Why? So we'll be more fruitful. And it never seems to be fun, but it's part of trimming the wick is part, I believe, of preparing for the fresh fire. Yeah. Hallelujah. And fresh fire is imparted through encounters with God. Yes. Amen. Again, you can have them in the secret place of prayer, and you should expect them there, but you also should expect them when we gather. Amen. In prayer and in worship and whether it be Sunday or whatever day it is. Many times the impartations may come, a fire may come through a prophetic word. They may come through someone who laid their hands upon you. And they may come just in worship when the glory falls on you, right? It's the fire of God comes. But here, I want you to hear this with all my heart. As much as I want the fire and I believe in the baptism of fire, it is the oil that fuels and sustains the fire. If you have a lamp with no fire, big deal. You're just the oil reservoir, right? It's both together, fresh oil, fresh fire. But the oil is what sustains. Our intimate walk with God is what sustains us to keep burning brightly. Amen? Do you receive that? Very important. Now, again, oil and fire are symbolic. They represent the presence of the Holy Spirit and the dimensions and the way God moves, as does other descriptions like wind and rain, right? These are things that speak of the Holy Spirit. But can I tell you, we need to understand this. He is not, notice I called Holy Spirit He. He is not merely a symbol. He's not merely power. Are you with me? He's God. Amen. Amen? You were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He is God. If you believe at all in the triune God, the Trinity, you understand that. He's God. And here's the thing. He is the Spirit of God. God is Spirit. So those that worship him in the spirit. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me? So don't look at him as an it or something that just, oh, he's here. I really hate the way the old King James used to use the word ghost. Everybody kind of goes, holy what? The Holy Ghost is going to get, I mean, I understand it, but I mean, I know a lot of people in this new generation are probably wondering, really? Holy Ghost? But the word is wind, pneuma. The wind of God, amen? The Spirit of God, hallelujah. Now, did you know he has promised to all who receive Jesus? After this initial outpouring, we know at Pentecost, conviction came upon their hearts, and they asked Peter, they said, what must we do? I mean, what do we need to do? I mean, we're trying to deal with what we're seeing and what we're seeing. They were convicted. The Bible says, my translation I like to use says, they were pierced in their heart. They were pierced in their hearts, and they begged them, what must we do? And Peter responded in Acts 2.38. Look there with me. Acts 2.38, he said, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for what? For the forgiveness of your sins. How many of you are glad you've done that? Hallelujah. And what else does it say? And you will, what's the next word? Receive. Everybody say receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. That includes us. Hello. If the God calls you and you receive Jesus, guess what? He wants you to receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And this promised gift is for all who believe. Think about it. If you receive Jesus as your Lord, well, what does he do? John the Baptist said he baptizes in the Holy Spirit. So if you receive him as your Lord, it's really easy to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I may have told this story before. I feel like I need to tell it again. I was on a youth missions trip, and I think we were, I believe we were up at White Post at Shanto, I believe. It was a camp meeting one night. And no, it wasn't. It's China Springs up north of Gallup. Still Navajo Rez, another state. And we're up there and ministering, and we had a youth tent right by the adult tent. And that night, I mean, the power of God, man, kids were getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. It was powerful. Powerful night. And my niece came up to me almost in tears, and she said, there's a girl over here that wants to receive the Holy Spirit because her friend had received the Holy Spirit. She wants the Holy Spirit, and she goes, I can't get a breakthrough with her. Now, my niece is a very anointed woman of God, and my brother's daughter, and she was a little perplexed at why she couldn't get a breakthrough with her. And so I went over there, and I didn't get anywhere with her either. And so my good friend, Pastor Hershey, who now is on staff with Todd White's ministry down in Dallas, Texas. Hershey was with us on that trip with his youth group. And he walks up to her. The first thing Hershey says, he said, have you ever been born again and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? She goes, no. Oh. We say something in the South. We had the cart before the horse. Are you with me? We led her to Jesus. She received Jesus, put her faith in Jesus, and immediately was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Are y'all with me? Sometimes, you know, we think this thing out way too hard, and we can miss out on what God's wanting to do. But anyway, I just want to say to you today, to receive something, you have to take hold of it. Always remember that. You don't receive it just because you happen to be in a room when he poured out. You've got to take hold of what God's doing. Are y'all with me? You apply your faith. When you got saved, how many know the gift of God is free for salvation? But you have to apply faith to receive it and claim it for your life so that you can be saved. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit, because God wants to give you utterances. Amen? God wants to prophesy through you. Hallelujah. God wants to give you dreams and visions. Are y'all with me? He wants to shed abroad his love in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And he wants to give you power to be an effective witness. Anybody want to be effective? You know what I've been asking the Lord? I said, Lord, even when we're not having meetings or prayer meetings, and I want this to change to where we don't have meetings where I always know everybody in the room is saved. I'm looking forward to some people coming, you know, to get saved at our church meetings. But that aside, I want to live my life in such a way that there wouldn't be a day go by God wouldn't bring somebody by my path to be saved. Would anybody like to be able to witness like that? Seriously. I want to live like that. And I want to see a church of people that is so impacting society just in everyday life. Going to the office, going to school, going out in the community, just loving on people and seeing people get saved. Is anybody with me? I want that. I want to live that aware of the anointing on my life with power so that people can be saved. Amen. And I believe it's time for it. I got to be careful. I'm going to the end of my message and I'm not even close to the end. Everybody said, amen, and I told you so. Here's the thing. I've got to get these key things to you today because I think it's important because of where we're at on God's calendar. This is Rosh Hashanah. Everybody knows that, right? Amen. Amen. Rosh Hashanah began Friday night. Some interesting thing prophetically. People have been asking me, you know, we had a Supreme Court justice pass away, and she was a Jewish woman on the court. And it's Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. It's the beginning of a new year, a new thing. I tell you what, God's getting ready to do something really, really new, and you need to push through that window. You need to push through that window. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. We have a responsibility to not only receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but steward the gift that you've received. Amen? Did you get that? What did Jesus say? He's been with you guys, but he's getting ready to be in you. And then he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So guess what? When you receive him, he doesn't take off on you. Even though you may be grieving him and quenching him and literally hurting his heart. Hello? Even being unfaithful, he's still there. So we don't learn how to steward. We've got to get away from this thing where we're thinking, oh, he's here. He was here when we walked in and we're just hugging each other and saying hi. Amen? And certainly there's a manifestation of his nearness when we worship him and we get into the word of God together. But there's something God wants to do to help us to understand that. So anyway, let me give you a verse that may help you. How many know in the old covenant, the Holy Spirit would come upon the prophets, the men and women of God, but he wouldn't stay upon them. He would be on them for a season or a time or for a word or whatever. And then he would lift, he would come and he would go. And David, when he was in sin, he even said, oh, Father, as close as David was to the heart of God as a worshiper, David even said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Y'all remember that? When he was repenting before the Lord in Psalm 51. So there's an understanding. Yes, we need to be diligent to receive the Holy Spirit, but we also need to steward what we have received. Do y'all receive that word? Because I'm telling you, look what it says. You know the verse in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Now this is Paul writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. Look what he says. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, or most of us are more familiar with fear, same thing. But he has given us what? Power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed, get this, of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me, here it is, in suffering for the gospel according to what? The power of God. Hello? Is that not powerful? The Lord has anointed us to boldly testify of Jesus according to the power of God. But here's the thing. You've got to kindle the gift. You got to, the old translation says, stir it up. You stir up the gift. I mean, it literally means like you had some embers that were about to go out and you started to fan the flame and you get the fire going, right? You're fanning the flame. Hallelujah. How many of you sense the anointing a lot stronger when you're pressing in? And you're worshiping, and there's things happening. What's happening? That flame that did not, it's still always been there. Always remember this. He will never snuff out even a smoldering wick. And he will never break off a bruised reed. Hallelujah. His intention is to light us up. Hallelujah. for his glory. Hallelujah. What does fear do? Fear comes to quench the spirit, to get us to quench the anointing that we've received. That's why fear comes, to intimidate us, to not speak out. So we need to fan the flame. And can I tell you, that language you received is one of the ways you edify yourself. It's one of the ways you stir yourself up, okay? And when you get into the Word of God and commune with the Spirit of God, you'll be so fired up, you'll be a fire-breathing witness for Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. I didn't say dragon. I said. But we also need to learn, how many of you know, we need to learn how to live. When I say we, I'm including myself. We need to learn how to live in constant, continual fellowship and communion with the Holy Spirit. That was a mouthful, but did you get it? I mean, I'm talking about live that way. Anybody want to be able to live that way? Hallelujah. I mean, what I'm talking about is living aware of him. Living aware of him at all times. Listening and looking and waiting expectantly for his promptings and his nudges. You know, those nudges of the Holy Spirit. Go talk to that guy. You know, go minister to her. Go pray for that guy. You know what I'm saying? Those nudges of the Holy Spirit. Because why wouldn't he do that? Because he's with us always. He never takes a day off. He's not only with us on Sunday morning. Thank God. All right? This is a small piece of the pie of your week. Amen? But if we live unaware of him and ignore his abiding within us, can I tell you what the likely result will be? We end up running after the wrong things. Let's be honest, don't we? We run after the wrong things. We run after the world. And you know, the Bible calls that spiritual adultery. I know this is where the message is going to get quiet, but it's okay. I mean, I'm just using the Word of God. Let's look at it. Let's look at it. We've talked about it before, but let's go there again in James 4, chapter 4, verse 4. James 4, 4. Look what he says. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is what? Hostility toward God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God. Ow. Pull the toes back, right? Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. He wants intimacy with us more than we want it with him. Amen? And it breaks his heart. He's made such a deposit within us, and then we don't get the benefit of it, which is to be close to God's heart. Interesting how the worship ended today about drawing near. Amen? I got to read those verses to you out of the Message. I'd never read it out of the Message translation. But it's really powerful. Listen to what he says. You're cheating on God if all you want is your own way. Flirting with the world every chance you get. You end up enemies of God and his way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? He is a fiercely jealous lover. Jealous lover is also the language the Passion Translation uses. And what he gives in love, get this now, is far better than anything else you will find. How many of you know, when the Holy Spirit came on those disciples, they weren't the same. They died for what they believed in. Where just a few days earlier, they were denying they knew him, right? But something happens. Man, I feel such an anointing right now. He is a jealous lover. What he's deposited in you and me, he wants to commune with us. Amen? He wants us overflowing with oil. We can't get enough flask to hold what he wants to do. Amen? Fellowship with the Holy Spirit is about having a passionate relationship with God himself. It's knowing God. It's loving and worshiping God. It's being led by God. And it's also that anointing so that we can be an effective witness for God. Amen. Now, we know none of us can know him without the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, we know him by the Spirit. But we also know you can't be an effective witness without the Holy Spirit. Because what did Jesus say? Wait until you've been endued with power from on high. And you will see power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. Amen. And I'm asking the Lord, say, Lord, if I'm not being very effective, then I need to up the quotient of the power. Amen. And the anointing and the intimacy with God. Amen. And I humbly say that before you today. I know there's more God has for me because I want to be more effective. Hallelujah. Amen. Even Jesus said when his ministry began, do you remember? He took the book of the prophet Isaiah, they handed it to him. He said, and he turned in that passage we know so well. And the Spirit of the Lord God is what? Upon me. Because he has anointed me. To do what? To proclaim good news to the poor. Amen? To open the eyes of the blind. To set free and at liberty those who are in captivity. To heal the brokenhearted. And to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he said, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. I'll be honest with you. I stand up almost every morning. I try to remember every morning when I'm praying to speak that over my life and say, Rick Bennett, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. Amen? Because I'm anointed too. He's anointed me to be a witness of him. Are y'all still with me? Hallelujah. We talked last week about how Jesus' words about how we need to lay down our life and live for his sake. And for the sake of the gospel. Listen to that verse in the Passion real quick. For if you let your life go for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will continually experience true life. But if you choose to keep your life for yourself, you will forfeit what you're trying to keep. Wow. I mean, that's worded very well. I can remember many, many times coming back again from missions trips and so on. Some of the young people would tell me, man, what I went through to get to go on this trip, the discipleship training and the money and the fundraising and the, you know, what all it took to do this. And they would be crying, not wanting to drive back to Memphis because they didn't want to go back to business as usual. They found out where true life was is when you're ministering on behalf of the kingdom of God. Amen. You find out that's where the true life really is. And you're able to enjoy that. And God wants that to infiltrate all of our lives, even in the workplace and even in everyday life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But you got to take up your cross and follow Jesus. You got to be willing to lose your life for his sake and for the sake of the kingdom, the message of the kingdom. And that's what we need to get back to. You know, we all know that repentance is to change your heart, your direction, change your mind, the way you think. But how many know all repentance begins with an initial choice? Because we all choose to repent, right? We make a decision, I'm going to turn, right? But the second thing is really important is that it needs to be a kept decision. Do you remember when the Pharisees came out to John the Baptist? They wanted to be baptized because, you know, they didn't want to miss out on all this. You know, they were trying to get but they were doing it for religious reasons, to save face with the people. And John said, who warned you, you brood of vipers? Well, that's one way to greet people. But who warned you to flee the wrath that is to come? And he said, bear fruit in keeping with your repentance. Yeah. Amen? Right. Don't just make a show here today, but stick with it. Right. How many know it's those who endure to the end that will be saved? Amen? And I don't know about you, but I want to be a man who repents and keeps his repentance. Amen? Amen? The third thing, of course, again, all of that, it's no good without oil. You got to have the oil of intimacy to be his witness. How many of you have ever found out you try to just go out to witness just for the sake of doing it? It is hard without the Holy Spirit. Come on. It's hard. It's hard work. You know why? Because it's flesh. Hello? It's us trying to work it, trying to make it happen, trying to force it. I've been on those outreaches. We didn't reach nothing. My nose was a little flatter from doors being slammed in my face. Anybody with me? I was shell-shocked the first time I went out with that kind of ministry. I was like, whoa. Paul said this in Romans 15. We're not going to turn there. Go back to any of my messages. I use this all the time with you. He said that in the power of the Spirit with signs and wonders, we fully preach the gospel. That's how you fully preach it. Amen? And you know, Paul had this honor and constant passion in his heart. Paul wanted to be a pioneer. He said, I don't want to just keep rebuilding where everybody else has been building. He said, I want to get the people that have never heard. You remember that? He said, so I'm going to fully preach the gospel. He was passionate about that. How many want to be a pioneer? I want to be a pioneer. I want to get to some folks. There's plenty of harvest here in this metro area. And yes, even on the Navajo Res. Amen. There's plenty of harvest still there. A lot of people that don't walk with Jesus. You know why? They've never seen Jesus without religious lenses. They've never seen Jesus in the power of the gospel. And a lot of people only know his name by as a swear word. Because we tend to think everybody in America, you know, that nobody here is qualified anymore. I'll tell you, there's plenty of harvest here. We need to make sure we have the oil and the fire. Hallelujah. Paul went on to say, he said, because when the gospel is preached with the demonstration of the Spirit, he said, those who know nothing about him will see him clearly. and those who haven't heard will respond. How many of you want to believe that with me? For America and for our community, amen? May it be our honor and compassion and passion to do that. But you got to be eager to share. You got to be eager to testify. You got to be eager to talk about Jesus and boast in the Lord. You got to be eager and to do it without shame. Amen? Now, how many of you know when we talk about something like this, we talk about outreach. We talk about doing things and reaching out for God and being used of God, whether on an individual level or on a corporate type thing. How many of you know we always feel inadequate in the natural? Do we not? I know for me, I don't feel strong enough, wise enough, gifted enough, good looking enough, whatever. I just don't feel like I got what, everybody with me? You always get that from the enemy. Moses tried it. I'm not a good speaker. So the Lord said, okay, well, let Aaron talk for you. I mean, like, you're not going to get out of this, right? Jeremiah said, I'm just a youth. He said, don't say you're just a youth. That's not your excuse. Well, here's the thing. God qualifies you and me when he calls us. And when he fills our hearts with his love and anoints us. He qualifies us. Amen? That's how you're qualified. Paul wrote it this way in Colossians. He said, this is the mystery, Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. Because if it wasn't for Christ in you and me, there would be no hope forever to be any glory to be manifested. Anybody with me? Go with me to 1 Corinthians 2. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 26. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Hallelujah. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, everybody say his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boast in the Lord. Hallelujah. A lot of times we boast in flesh, and then we call it anointed. Come on. That's done a lot in the area of like music and things like that. We'll call it anointed, but we're actually boasting in the flesh. Consider your calling. This is the Lord's doing. Amen? It's the Lord's doing. Keep going with me. Chapter 2, look at verse 1. When I came to you, brethren, look, this is the Apostle Paul now. I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in what? Weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He was a mess. And he said, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in what? Say it with me, everybody. Demonstration of the Spirit and the power. For what purpose? So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Hallelujah. If I could persuade you to believe something, you could be persuaded to not believe it. Hello? Hello? But when the reality of it comes to your heart and life through a demonstration of the Spirit of God, they can't take that away from you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, guys. I've seen a lot of things. There's no way the enemy ever taught me out of believing in Jesus. It's because of my experience with the demonstration of the power of God. Go to verse 9. Paul goes on to talk about this wisdom, but for the sake of time, let's jump forward to verse 9. He says, just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, an ear has not heard, and which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. How many of you love him? Amen. He's got a lot prepared for you that you've yet to see, hear, or understand. Amen? To us worshipers, God reveals them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of that man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Everybody receive that? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Say it out loud with me. So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Hallelujah. We'll never tap into it without Holy Spirit. Amen? I'm telling you guys. The initial baptism of the Holy Spirit, I can ask most people can tell me when they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, I was in a youth meeting on a Wednesday night. I was 14 years old. And everybody's got a story about getting baptized in the Holy Ghost a lot of times, and that's fine. But it was never meant to be an experience you talk about. It's a reality of life. I like to put it this way. The baptism with the Holy Spirit initially is the doorway to a lifestyle of being Spirit-filled. Amen? Amen? Did y'all get that? Because a lot of times we like to, you know, check things off. Check off that box. Okay, got the Holy Ghost. Oh, check. Finally got my prayer language. Check that off, you know. But it's a gateway. It's a doorway into a life that's totally different. Where we can know the greater things than these. Where we can know the deep things of God. Hallelujah. Come on, guys. And can I tell you, best of all, we can have a deeper intimacy with the Lord than you can ever have in the flesh. And get this. His own disciples who walked with him in the flesh attested to this. They said, we don't know Jesus in the flesh any longer. We now know him by the Spirit. And even Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. Because now the Spirit's going to come into your heart and you're going to commune with me in the Spirit. And every one of you in any place at any time could commune with me in the Spirit. Holy Spirit to your spirit. Amen? Here's my challenge to you. Let's posture ourselves for fresh fire and fresh oil. Amen? Let's get in that posture. Because we know if we will awaken and arise, he will shine on us. Amen? He will be faithful. And how many of you know we need it, especially at a time such as this? In this generation, in our cities, and in this country, and in various places we all love and are from, God, we need a move of God. Amen? And God wants to make that move of God through you and me. Now, would you agree with me? It seems like wickedness is just sprouting up everywhere. It's not like we're living in that time where we're seeing iniquity, you know, increasing, right? Lawlessness increasing, and those various things. And I'm with you. I see that. And it can be really depressing. And I want to close with a psalm that I've used before, but I want you to look at it with me today. Go to Psalm 92. Psalm 92 and verse number 6. Is that the last passage I gave you? Okay. When I said close, I'm just making sure I didn't want to leave out 5 or 6 verses we could look at. Look there with me. Psalm 92, 6. Now get this. A senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a man understand this, that when the wicked sprouted up like grass and all who did iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold, your enemies, O Lord, your enemies will what? Perish. And all who do iniquity will be scattered. Everybody got that? But look at verse 10. I love this. But you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Anybody ready for the wild ox anointing? I mean, that takes bull in a china shop to a whole nother level, doesn't it? Come on, get what he says here. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Hallelujah. And my eye has looked exultantly upon my foes. Notice the foes didn't disappear, but you look upon them exultantly. Amen? Amen? My ears hear the evildoers who rise against me, but the righteous man, come on, will flourish. Say flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God, and they will still yield fruit. Come on, everybody my age or older, come on, in old age, hallelujah. And they shall be what? Full of sap. You're going to be a very sappy people. No, you're going to be full of sap and very green. Come on, say very green, hallelujah. To declare that the Lord is upright. I mean, come on, he is my rock. There is what? No unrighteousness in him. Don't you love that? He will lift us up. What the Bible says, you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, in due time he will lift you up. Amen? He's going to strengthen your horn. That's your position and your influence and what God has placed you. But he also will anoint you with fresh oil. And I believe he will also shine on us with his consuming fire. As I said earlier, this is the time of Rosh Hashanah. It began on Friday at sundown. I think it's Friday or Thursday. But it's on the Lord's calendar. We're entering what we call the fall feast of the Lord. Many people believe that when the Lord comes, it will be at Rosh Hashanah with the shout of the trumpet. But, you know, but anyway, I'm not here to talk about whether or not that's exact. I believe that too. But here's what I want to bring your attention to. I believe right now, like never before, we need to hear the trumpet blast. Now, the trumpet blast was a shofar, okay? And it was a shofar. And shofars were always blown as a wake-up call. It sounds an alarm. It's an urgency to it. It's a call to worship. It's a call to draw near. It's not a call to run and hide. It's a call to draw close unto God. And how many know there's nothing nothing in the world subtle about a trumpet or a shofar. There's no way to subtly blow one. I don't think. I've never heard. I mean, you got to. If you've anybody ever blown a shofar, it you got to work at it. I mean, you've got to really. You got to blast it even to get it to make a sound, and so it's going to be loud. Anyway, but he's calling us out. I believe even in a, I want to say this to you, even in a time of trouble and shaking, he blows the shofar. All the more to say, come draw near. And I believe this is the message for this hour. The question the Lord would ask all of us is, do you have any oil? And do you have enough? Amen? How do you get it? You draw close. Because see, here's the thing. Please don't be offended, but Jesus is not walking around the earth except through you and me. He's the head and we are his body. Amen? Think about it. Peter comes upon the man at the gate beautiful. Remember that? What was the man doing? He'd been there since his mother's womb. Every day they laid him there. He never walked in his life. And he sat there and he begged at the gate for alms, you know, people to bless him. So here comes Peter. James and John came walking by. They were headed to the temple for the hour of prayer. And they stopped. And you remember what Peter said to him? Silver and gold have I none. I've always memorized this in the King James. I can't get it out of my head. But what I have, everybody say, what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he, I love it. Talk about bull in the china shop, right? How about the wild ox anointing? He just reached down and grabbed the guy's hand and yanked him up. And the man began to walk and leave. Now, sometimes we want to prompt people along. Maybe we need to start grabbing people. I know, social distancing. It's time to start grabbing some folks and getting them healed and set free. Amen. But how many of you know? Oh, here's the reason I brought that up. What I have, I give to you. Freely you have received, freely give. So guys, we could cry, oh Lord, more anointing, more, you know, but the Lord's saying, really, I need you to receive it because I need you to go give it. Amen. Not until I give it to other Christians who won't pay the price to be close to the Lord. To the people that we're trying to reach for the Lord. Amen. The harvest. Hallelujah. Y'all receive that? Very important. We can't effectively witness without having the oil to give. I want to encourage you in this. If you've already received Holy Spirit baptism, if you've not received the Holy Spirit baptism and you've received Jesus, then please, you need to take the promise that was given to you and receive it. Okay? But if you have received the Holy Spirit baptism, I just encourage you, it is always time to fan the flame. Always. Keep yourself stirred up. Stay in the Word of God. Amen? Stay in the Word. Stay deep in the Word of God. Pray much in the Holy Spirit and worship in the Holy Spirit. And keep yourself edified and built up in the Lord. Amen? How many of you know, you wish you were stirred up when an opportunity approaches you, but you're not stirred up. You're not ready. You know what I'm talking about? This opportunity is there and you're like, I feel about as anointed as a gnat. You know, right? Why don't they show up on Sundays when I'm just flowing in it, right? Yeah. But I'm telling you, God's wanting us to stay stirred. Everybody say, stay stirred. Stay stirred. But again, I want to encourage all of you who have received the Holy Spirit, don't stop at the doorway, right? Press on through. Go deeper. I'm not criticizing you in the sense of putting you down. But how many know there's always a depth in God we've not gone? I want to press in and plumb the depths of the deep things of God. Amen? And I believe he wants that for us. I don't think we could ever exhaust whatever he has for us. Like you go, I don't have any more for you, Ricky. I'm sorry, you tapped me out. But what does it say? God can do what? Above and beyond whatever you and I ask or think. Hallelujah. So let's not merely stop there. Let's develop that deeper intimacy with the Lord. And I think as far as the living in awareness, that's something you just have to determine to do. Let's just determine that we're going to live aware. You've got to practice his presence. Practice his presence in every moment. Remember, he's a jealous lover, and what he offers is far better than anything the world can give us anyway. Amen? I think older people are quicker to say amen to that because we've found out a lot of this stuff runs dry pretty quick. Amen? Experiencing his love is so important because, see, his perfect love drives out the fear. Amen? And his power gives you an emboldenedness to witness for him with great power. I'm excited about what the Lord wants to do. I believe it's still harvest time. Is anybody with me? I really do. I believe it's still harvest time in our country. I believe we're going to see some things change, and it's even going to impact the nations of the world. I believe that with all my heart. So I ask you today, let's give our hearts as a free will offering to the Lord. Let's determine, say, Lord, I want to be your pioneer. Amen. I want to take this message to the lost. I want that to be my honor and my constant passion. I hear the Lord also saying when he sounds the alarm, consider your calling. Consider your calling. This is the Lord's doing. And don't become distracted or shrink back over everything else that's going on. It's so easy. It's not that you even want those things. It's almost like, it's kind of like, have you ever noticed how you can watch a 25-minute video of a wreck, an accident, or a police chase or something? Like, this is almost like it's so easy just to become in a stupor looking at the wrong things. Y'all with me? And don't get distracted. Don't allow it just to eat you up, you know? Next thing you know, I try to be careful. You know what I do a lot of times now? I don't even hardly turn the news on. I just get clips and something, watch it real quick and move on. You know, I want the information, but I don't want to just sit there and spend the next 2 hours listening to the talking heads tell me. I want to listen to the Holy Spirit talk to me about what's going on. Amen? Hallelujah. I love this from the Passion. We're going to pray, I promise. Since we are receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, we should be extremely thankful. Amen? Extremely thankful. And we should offer to God the purest form of worship that delights his heart as we lay down our lives in absolute surrender, filled with awe. Anybody want to be filled with awe? For our God is a holy, consuming fire. Amen? Amen? This is a time of repentance and readiness. Would you say that with me? Repentance and readiness. Let's commit to that right now. I just want to pray over you, and then I've asked Daniel to lead us in a song of just inviting the fire of God to come. Are y'all ready for it? Hallelujah. Let's pray together right now. Everybody in your homes right now, I believe the Holy Spirit will pour out in your home on you today, just as what he was going to do here. Let's just receive it right now. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, and we just thank you for what you have done and what you are doing in our lives. And we are grateful, Lord. We are grateful, Lord, that you've actually given to your people. You've given us, Lord God, the keys of your glorious kingdom, your unshakable kingdom. And we're thankful, Lord. Y'all just kind of pray along with me. You don't have to repeat after me, but engage your heart. Stir your spirit right now. Lord, we choose today as a people to lay down our lives. Anybody going to lay down our life with us? Do it. Lord, we're going to lay down our lives for your sake, Lord Jesus, and for the sake of the gospel. That we would live for that purpose, my Lord. To see the gospel proclaimed and to see it demonstrated as a faithful witness of who you are, my Lord. This is our desire, Lord. Grant us the grace, Lord, I pray, to walk in this reality. Come in those places where we're weak and we're inadequate, Lord God, and let your great grace pour out upon your body and to pour out upon our lives, Jesus. Grace! Grace to you! I say grace to you in the name of Jesus. The Lord qualifies you. This is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. Hallelujah. Lord, we repent today of our unfaithfulness towards your jealous heart. Come on, if that's you right now, just repent of it. Lord, we don't want to be unfaithful to your jealous heart anymore. We know you're jealous for us. Forgive us, Lord, for running after the things of this world. Heal us. Heal our hearts, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you're always so faithful. You're looking for our return. And you're merciful. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask that you grant all of us a gift of repentance. That ability, Lord, to not only repent, but to keep with it. To stay with it, Lord God. To absolutely surrender to your purposes for such a time as this. Would you say that? For such a time as this, I give my all. Say it again. For such a time as this, I give my all. Now pray this with me. Help me, Lord, to live in reverence and live in awe of you. For you are a holy, consuming fire. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift your countenance toward heaven. Lord, you are a holy, consuming fire. You are worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord, of our love. You're worthy of our allegiance. You're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our devotion, Jesus. Would you declare he's worthy?
Yes, worthy.
You are worthy, Lord. Come on, tell him right now, I offer my life. Come on, I offer my life, Lord, for your sake and for the gospel's sake. And Lord, we cry out today, fresh oil. Fresh oil, we need it, Lord. Fresh oil and fresh fire. Those of you in your homes, I know you may even by yourself, just lift up your voice and declare, fresh oil and fresh fire. Hallelujah. Fire. Oh. Oh. Jesus, Jesus. There must be more. Let's sing that. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, come breathe.